Welcome to What's Poppin'. In this episode, we have a special guest. We have Jeff Ehlers with us from Garuna Ministries.
Good to be here. Good to be here, Mark.
How long have you been working on this whole project in Southeast Asia?
Well, we were called by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod back in the early 90s to be a missionary in Bangkok, Thailand. Mm. So that's what got us interested in that area. We served as missionaries for about 8 years.
Okay.
And then when we came back to the United States in 2000, I wanted to stay involved with our brothers and sisters in Christ over there. And I had seen some other groups form a nonprofit to stay involved. And so I said, well, why don't we do that? So we formed Garuna Ministries based out of Phoenix, Arizona, where we now live, in 2001. So since then, we've been continued our involvement with our brothers and sisters in Christ over in that region.
Wow. So that's like 30 years
of
work over there.
31. Actually, this week, we went in 1993, so 31 years.
Anniversary, 31 years.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Why did you name it Garuna Ministries?
Good question. It doesn't make any sense here in English, but in Thai and the Cambodian languages, it means grace, mercy, and compassion.
Oh, okay.
So when they
all those things together,
they're wrapped together.
Okay.
And it's really a powerful word. And so when the people there hear it, oh, okay, that brings really good thoughts to their mind and opens them to hopefully the gospel more clearly. So that's why we chose that word.
One of the things that intrigues me about Garuna Ministries is the fact that you approach church planting or ministry in a way which I personally think is a really healthy way of doing it. That is, get the indigenous people to be the ones who are leading the church and gathering people in. How did you come to that realization of doing things there?
I would say, if I reflect on that, I probably saw when, say, it was dominated by a Western missionary and those missionaries leave, I would see that ministry dry up. It got me thinking about, okay, what would be a better method, a more long-lasting method of sharing the gospel there? And it just makes sense to train the local leaders. They know their language better.
Mm-hmm.
They know their culture. They know how to share their faith within a Buddhist context better than we do. And they own it. They care more about their own people, frankly, than an outsider does.
They're more invested
in
general.
That's where they live. And they love their people and their country. And they want them to know Christ. So it just made sense to pour ourselves into their development and training, because we won't be there forever. I mean, we have to go back to our home or assign somewhere else. So I thought this will be a way for it to hopefully last generations until the Lord returns, really.
And then was this something you discovered early on?
Basically, I would probably say I was a parish pastor for about 8 years in the U.S. And even there, I really liked the idea of training leaders and developing disciples, even in the congregational life and the elders and so forth. So I'm not exactly sure where that came from, but even early in ministry, even in the United States, I was really committed to developing leadership. Maybe 2 Timothy 2:2, entrusting to others. That idea, some reason that's always been a keen interest of mine, whether it's here in America or overseas.
Sort of part of your ministry DNA.
It is.
Yeah.
And I can't exactly say where. Maybe I had some exposure in college to like other mission organizations, like say Navigators, or they really emphasized personal training and discipleship training. And I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Seems New Testament
it does. To me. It does. So thinking that through a little bit, because I think it actually works, as you said, locally wherever you are, right?
And it does.
Thinking the future of the Bay Area, we're going to have to do that here, because how are you going to get people out here?
Right.
You know, what is the biggest hurdle to that happening, to where you can train local leaders?
Well, I would say part of it would be a mindset, maybe, of, say, if it starts from a missionary, it's really hard, it seems like, for Western missionaries to relinquish that kind of leadership role. We're sent over and we're supposed to know everything and impart this knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's a pride issue almost, it seems like to me, if I'm speaking frankly. So you really have to get beyond yourself and say, you know what? The folks here really know a whole lot more than I do about how to do this, but they maybe haven't had the opportunity to study. And so maybe I can help with providing some teaching and training, and then they can apply it to their people. So maybe the obstacle is our mindset, maybe. You know, we have to get beyond thinking we know everything, and we don't. You know, it's that old nature of ours is there. So really trusting others and really trusting God as we share his word, that these folks, he knows who should be a leader and who shouldn't. And as we teach these courses, maybe it's one-on-one. We meet with someone for coffee and we talk with them. And then God knows who should be brought up and in leadership roles. And you're right, it needs to be done in the United States too.
So trusting other people to be able to lead and preach.
And it's really trusting God that
he's going to identify these folks.
He's going to identify the right people and then trusting the people.
Yeah, and put it on their hearts to start following
through. And we don't know who they will be on the outside. How can you tell? So you're kind of sowing seed, you know, like the parable of the sower. You're not sure where it's going to land, but then somehow God raises up the right people to do that. Hmm. I think it's powerful.
In your work over there in Southeast Asia, right, you have LISA, Lutheran Institute of Southeast Asia. You have Garuna Ministries, which is kind of a sister to that, right?
LISA is under Garuna Ministries.
Under Garuna Ministries. So you're training up leaders. You have the schools going.
Yes.
What is the thing that makes you most excited?
I go back to the leadership training again. What I'm very happy about and very thankful for is that I see the young believers growing in their capacity. They really are learning how to share their faith with their own people, and they're learning how to operate the schools. They're learning how to do it in a Cambodian way, which is a very effective and acceptable way. So I take a lot of joy in seeing them develop and grow in their faith and grow in their capacity, because to me, that's what the future is for their church and their hunger for the word. I mean, they'll sit all day long for 3 or 4 days studying God's word, where sometimes it's hard to, to get a group to a Bible study here.
Right, yeah.
We take it for granted, maybe.
It sounds almost like what gets you most excited is seeing that the trust pays off.
It does. It does.
You trusted somebody to take over these things, and look at that. They're
doing
fantastic.
Doing better than I thought they could.
Yeah. You know, better than you could because 100%. They have a different way of looking at things.
Exactly. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah, right. And being happy about that too. Yeah.
Because I know my limitations, and I just, I don't know the ins and outs of their culture. And you can't, it's really hard to know exactly how to frame things in another culture and in another language, even though I do speak Thai and all of that. It's like, if you don't grow up in that, you are...
Cultural cues are tough, right? Those nonverbal cues and stuff like that. It's really tough to navigate.
And especially if you're trying to identify a leader, an outsider, it's really hard to say, well, this person seems to be a good leader. And then the local people go, we don't really know.
Yeah.
No one's going to follow that person. Not so good.
So one of the things that Pastor Zelt asked you and Cheryl about this morning during the message was, did you ever think that when you had your first session on leadership or teaching someone to be a leader 30 years ago, did you think it's going to turn to LISA or things like that?
Yeah.
One of the questions I have for you thinking about that is there anything you're currently working on where you're like, let's see what you do with this, Lord? Like, where's this going to head in 10 years? Like, anything you're working on right now?
Yes. It's an outgrowth of LISA. Mm-hmm. Our graduates who we want now to be teachers and who are teaching, which is the ideal, they needed additional education. And so we have a relationship with Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, where we are, and their leadership is LCMS, the couple leaders. And so they're allowing us to use their Master's of Arts in Christian Ministry degree, but they teach it online so our leaders can study it. It's in English, so they have to have a proficiency in English.
Yeah.
They allow us to choose our own Lutheran professors.
Oh.
So we get to select the professor. We have stellar professors teaching these 10 courses, and they're allowing us to pick the students for the class, and they have our own course numbers and everything. I'm very excited about that, because if you especially think about the growth of the Lutheran churches in Africa and all around the world, I think Grand Canyon would be willing for us to offer this around the world. The criteria would be they'd have to be nominated by their church bodies, church leadership, and have the qualifications, and the English is key, because it's all in English, but they would receive a master's degree from Grand Canyon University. I think the potential for that around the world for emerging churches is incredible. You know, in most of these emerging countries with younger churches, they don't have the opportunity to have like a Concordia, University Concordia Seminary, whatever. What they're looking for would be more depth in their teaching and training, And so we're looking especially for the leaders who might be teaching at what they would have maybe a Bible college or their Bible courses. So they have that extra experience of having really great professors teaching them. And then they can pass that on to their students. And then maybe another generation will take that as well. So it could be very impactful.
Very impactful. Especially when you think about the non-denominational or the Pentecostal type Christianity, which are also spreading, which is great that Christianity is spreading, right? The gospel is being spread. But we feel that their theology is a little off in places, right? And it can lead to dangerous places, especially in part of the world where they are dealing with more spiritual things,
right?
Because they recognize it. Yeah. The reality is they recognize it, so they deal with it more often, right? And so what this could do is really give solid historical theology and interpretation of scripture amongst a population which doesn't really get that. And and maybe you have some missionaries who are Pentecostal who are like, here's the Bible, go.
Right.
You know?
There's not a lot of training.
Not a lot of training.
In those areas. Yeah. But the heart is there. They want to serve.
Yep.
And they want more depth.
Yep.
And so it was a question of opportunity primarily. How could they get that?
Yeah.
And it wasn't available where they're at. And they are really well-meaning and very dedicated. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping this would provide them some of that solid, good law, gospel, biblical theology that we have and share. It would be beneficial to them and their churches.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
That's really exciting thing to think about.
Again, it's a thing. I don't know what it will look like exactly, but you have the hope that God will bless that because I think it's a need.
Mm.
Lutheran churches are really growing in certain areas of the world, but they don't have the facilities. They don't have the opportunities for that kind of training. I'm hoping this will be a piece of that puzzle.
One thing that I've noticed among leaders in the church is they tend to want to learn more.
Yeah.
They want to learn more. They want to see how this all fits together
and
know how to interpret scripture as as a whole and how to apply it to life. They want to learn more. So giving them more opportunity to do so is just going to benefit the church.
They're very hungry.
Yeah.
They love God's word and they love to share it. Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff,
yeah,
I asked you some stuff about Karuna Ministries. I asked you some stuff about Lisa. What makes you excited about Prince of Peace being a partner with Karuna?
Well, my goodness. I mean, you know, your church has already built two schools, over 450 plus children. Mm. And with another school coming online, you could be well over the 600 children coming daily to hear about Christ. And then you multiply that by five or six by their extended families.
Yeah.
You know, you're reaching thousands of people in an area where when they come to our schools, they don't know about Christ.
Mm.
If at most, maybe 1-2% know about Christ. So you're in a very interesting area, and they're open though to the gospel, which is also fantastic and fascinating. So we are very thankful for the partnership of Prince of Peace. You helped us with our sixth school, and then you also then modeled that, a congregation sponsoring a school for a group of churches in Omaha, and they were able to complete a school as well and loved that opportunity.
Yeah.
So you're modeling that for other churches. But you're very fun to work with. You have a real understanding of missions and outreach here. Being in a very multicultural area yourself, it's fantastic. So it's fun to see that and just wonderful people here that are just so much fun to work with and so supportive. It's a real blessing for us to be involved with you. And we hope that you're feeling that too. We're just not taking from you guys, but hopefully you feel a part of what's happening.
Yeah.
You feel that ownership and knowing that many new believers and baptisms and people hearing about Christ.
I would say Karuna is pretty good about that, sending information on a pretty regular basis about, you know, emails and pictures, videos once in a while, and then also the opportunity that we have, which is we're very blessed to be able to have someone like Sony who can organize trips, you know, from our church and from this area to head over there to Cambodia and then to actually get involved with the kids directly.
It's important to see it. You know, you guys have put a lot of money in these schools, and sometimes, you know, there are groups out there that maybe misuse funds. Let's be frank.
Yeah.
So it's good for you to have leadership to go over and people to go over and say, okay, there really is a school here. The kids actually attend and it's actually happening. It's good for you to have folks over there, and then they share their faith with the teachers. The teachers, they're really proud of their relationship with Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Our local staff, they love it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, thank you for you and Cheryl coming to Prince of Peace this morning and being here for all the services and for a luncheon and talking to the mission group who is going over there this summer, and for also being on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. We really enjoyed it, and God's blessings to you guys here too as well.